Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. It is Monday, May 3rd, and that means it's the start of Teacher Appreciation Week. So happy Teacher Appreciation Week. This week I want to talk about empathy and teacher appreciation and all the cool stuff that we are doing to end our school years, whether we're in our classrooms or in that hybrid model or that virtual teaching thing. Trying to stay safe and keeping our teachers and our students supported in a year that's truly unlike anything else we've ever seen. More on that in a second, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing, feel free to like or subscribe, leave a comment. It does help people find a podcast. I'm on the podcast stuff, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all that stuff like that. So feel free to like, give it the old thumbs up. And thanks, I appreciate you. New episodes drop every Monday, give or take. I'm on Twitter, and I would love to talk to you further about these episodes or anything else. I'm on Twitter, at mehanedu. So yeah, definitely feel free to do that. Last but not least, I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. It's spelled with an E, like educational ed, adrenaline. It's full of resources and templates, things that related to the book that I wrote called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. So I took all the templates from the book and put them on the internet. I think it's cool that teachers share stuff as best we can freely. A way to appreciate one another is not to waste each other's time or each other's money. And I think that giving back is a way that kind of helps them pay it forward. And it's a good thing for everybody. So, hooray! Check that out. I also have a membership website at emc2learning.com, where I join forces with Michael Matera, and we have all sorts of really cool members, features and opportunities, events, trainings, just outside of work stuff where you can come in and say, hey, on my own time, it's PD on demand, kind of like a Netflix for student engagement. We really try to engage students and teachers at the speed of life. And that'll be about what today's podcast is, too, because it is Teacher Appreciation Week. And each year, it rolls around that first full week of May, and we have a chance to kind of celebrate the life of a classroom instructor. Whether you're in the littles, middles, high schools, working in the college level, graduate level, you know, adult learners, being a teacher is hard work. And I think this year, more than ever, we've certainly learned just how much we depend on our teachers as, quote, unquote, and I mean it in the truest sense of the word, essential employees, right? It is essential that we have a human connection to the young learners in our classroom because we're called teachers. We're not called tellers. And what that means is, as we're working with the people who we try to serve, we need to help them feel safe and supported, inspired and encouraged and heard and seen. And, oh yeah, appreciated. So it's, you know, it's a chore sometimes. It's a challenge, certainly. There are days where it just beats you up, you know, wears you down. And there are days where you don't want to do it. There are days where you say, ugh, you know, I've deflated my tank. I can't put on the oxygen mask for anybody else until I put my own on first. And I use the word chore and challenge. I don't mean necessarily that that's a bad thing. I think there are chores that can shape your character. That's a good thing. I think that this year, as teachers, we've had our character shaped tremendously. I know a lot more about myself as a person as a direct result of the year that I've had in a virtual and hybrid and in-person teaching environment. My school went back for partial open and like split cohorts, as many teachers have, and very quickly you get to see who and what you're made of when you're in a classroom and most of your students are just, you know, on a Zoom call, right? Or behind masks and they feel like they're 600 miles away from one another. That's hard. It's a real challenge. And so as an educator, I want to always recognize that the humans in my classroom need to be appreciated and seen too. I think that's a challenge, and maybe Teacher Appreciation Week is a chance for us to kind of think about appreciation. You know, what does it mean to be appreciated? Does it mean like, hey guys, I bought you a free lunch? Believe it or not, some of us might actually recoil at that. I don't need a free lunch. What I need is to know that you know, the place that I work for or the students I work with or the colleagues I work alongside of, that they see me, that they hear me, that they understand me. We don't have to agree with each other all the time. We don't have to make it easy for one another all the time. But that the work that you're doing matters, that you are mirrored and met with the level of work you are willing to put forth. That, to me, is what appreciation looks like, right? It's, hey, I'm willing to run at whatever speed you want to run at, and you are aware that that might be faster than I'm comfortable running or slower than I'm used to running, but I'm willing to do that. That's a sign of appreciation. I respect you. And you, in turn, recognize that I'm making that effort, and you appreciate me by meeting with a full effort of your own. That's a good thing. as a runner myself, if I run with people who are way faster than me, I get faster. But it does exhaust me. And when they turn around and they say, hey, I see that you're pushing it. Good for you, man. Keep it up. That matters. I don't need a free cookie. I need a word of validation, a moment of being mirrored, and to say, what you are putting forth does not go unnoticed. Likewise, when I run with people who are slower than me, I run marathons with family members who, they're not at my speed. I ran a half marathon with my mom, and she's like, John Michael, just go ahead without me. I'm like, no, I'm going to move at your speed. Like, I want to do this with you together. It's not about me getting my personal record. That's not what today's race is about. Today's race is about me and my mom running side by side because we said we would set out and do it together. Because I appreciate her, I'm going to move at her speed. And because she appreciates me, I'm sure, like, we move alongside of one another, and she doesn't stop. She might not go to the world record speed, but for her, it's a personal record. That's awesome. She wouldn't be able to do that if that teacher was not right there alongside of her, coaching her on, cheering her on, saying, hey, don't stop, let's keep going. And I didn't know that I would be able to do it at that speed if I was left to my own devices, because I'd be like, oh, I'm so bored by this. Oh, I'm not getting my workout in. Like, you get stronger by running with people who are stronger with you, but you also gain strength by running with people who don't move at the speed that you move. It's important to recognize. Talk about ableism. Talk about empathy. Talk about, like, recognition of one's own privilege. In my own classroom, like, you know, talk about centering my middle-class whiteness, right? I'm a heterosexual male who comes from a two-parent home. My parents are still together. You know, 40 years later, my parents are still married. That's a very rare thing. And, oh, yeah, I'm a guy, and like I said, I'm white. So there's a lot of things about me that I take for granted that I may not have appreciated in my life until I met people who were not white, people who were not male, people who did not come from two-parent homes or whose parents were not together, people who did not come from, you know, some degree of financial stability, you know, places from food insecurity, people dealing with all sorts of isms, whether it's racism, sexism, ableism. Like, appreciation goes outward, but it also goes inward. Turn into yourself and say, when I'm running with somebody else, I'm not their savior. I am aware in this moment that I have been given some incredible gifts, and I remain humbled and appreciative of those things. That, to me, is teacher appreciation. It's like looking into yourself and saying, there's a unique confluence of things that have made me me. Up to and including the bad stuff, like my own trauma, my own missteps, my own misgivings, my own misdirections, my own faults, my own, you know, flaws. It makes me a better teacher if I'm able to own that stuff and say, hey, look, I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be perfect. My role in this classroom is not to tell you how to be perfect. My role in this classroom is to work with you, to help you see that you have a lot of good things in you. And through the course of the work we're going to do, we're going to try to elicit those things. We're going to try to, like, tease those out. You will get stronger. But in order to do that, you have to look inward. And I appreciate that you're willing to put in that effort. I, likewise, do not pretend to be the be-all and end-all, like the grand, you know, great and powerful Oz, the man behind the curtain who has all the answers to all the questions. I don't like that kind of teaching. I think if you actually look at the root word of the word assessment, it really does mean to, like, walk alongside of, to go along with. And I think that that's so important because appreciation is recognizing that we're in this journey with other people. That's where empathy comes from. The idea that, hey, you know what? I came from a different background than you came from. Can you help me understand where you're coming from on this? Not because I'm better or worse or faster or slower, just because we are processing two different sides of what could be the same coin. If we're talking about, like, I don't know, I said, hey, I want to go play tennis. And you say, oh, God, never tennis. There could be something in my own family history that makes me excited to play tennis. I think about tennis, I'm like, oh, man, my family all the time, we would play tennis all the time. This is not a true story, by the way. My family was not a tennis family, but let's just roll with it. You know, my family, oh, we love tennis. We would go to the country club. We would wear, like, our nice clothes. We'd sit out by the pool and, you know, smack the ball around and, you know, ring the little bell, and then the waiter would come over. And when I think about tennis, that's what I'm thinking about. Like I said, that was not my life story, but just go with it. I would hopefully be appreciative of the fact that I came from that sort of privilege, that sort of story to tell. But somebody else might hear tennis and be like, nope, that reminds me of me and my brother would go into the garage, and we have to forage for these dusty old spiderweb-covered rackets, and they smelled like old, you know, motor oil, because they were just stacked in the garage for years and years and years. Then we'd go and, like, smack the ball as hard as we could at each other until someone cried, because that's what we did as brothers. And nah, I don't really think tennis is a good idea. That's not a knock on tennis. It's a recognition, appreciation of where a different person comes from. When you say the exact same word, it means two totally divergent things to two totally different people. And so, again, as classroom teachers, we talk about appreciation of our students in the classroom. That means, hey, I'm saying the word math as if this is easy, or science as if this is easy, or English as if it's easy. There, but for the grace of God, go I, right? Like, somebody could be in my spot with a little less education, a little less perspective, a little less, hardship, and have a totally different divergent experience of that same content area. So I'm talking about appreciation. What I really want to lean into is that idea that it recognizes our privilege, and then it asks us to empathize with the learners around us, or the people around us. And so when we talk about teacher appreciation, we kind of can bring this whole thing, which may feel very shaggy dog, but I promise there's a point to it. To bring it to a close, the idea that you have incredible gifts and talents, amazing, and the person you're with also has incredible gifts and talents. They too are amazing in their own way, just different. They might be able to toast you in Fortnite or Minecraft, but they can't do the first thing about, you know, multiplication or division. Okay, you're just different. That's fine. One is neither good nor bad or inherently better or worse than. You're just different. Your role as a classroom teacher is to help that person, the human being in front of you, get from their point A to their point B, which hopefully focuses on growth and self-improvement, self-reflection, and appreciation, a recognition of one's own talents and one's own struggles. You can appreciate the hard stuff that happens to you. You can accept that bad things are happening to you or have happened to you without having to say that you're enjoying those bad things to have happened. Like, it's a recognition, appreciation. I think that's important. As we talk about Teacher Appreciation Week, about what this means, that outside of the classroom, as schools and administrators, it's not about the free, you know, hamburger or the free Chick-fil-A or the free, you know, burrito bowl. It's not about a coupon to Barnes & Noble. Those are all just things. And in truth, though we don't like it when people waste our time or our money, if you give me a free coupon or something, or half off of a something, I still have to spend the other half, so you're really not doing me any favors. To truly mean to be appreciated is to feel seen, feel, like I said, mirrored, feel validated, feel like you have a sense of empathy with the person in the room with you. It says, hey, what you're going through, I see it. It doesn't go unnoticed. And if a school or an administration or a colleague even simply takes that amount of time and says, for what it's worth, I can't pay $1 million here. I wish that I could, but you matter. And specifically, here's what you do that matters. Here's what I've seen from you that knocked my socks off. Like, it doesn't have to be ornate. It doesn't have to be fancy. And I know that's like, you know, preaching to the choir, right? Like, everyone has said, well, that's every gift you ever gave. It's about the thought that counts. Yeah, sometimes an email can be really thoughtful. Other times an email can sort of feel perfunctory. And if it's a coupon, because you always get coupons, you know, look at the amount of effort someone puts into an email when they send it to you. Is it form letters? Is it stock? Does it have like a platitude, these phatic phrases that just say, you know, you are appreciated. It is your birthday. Or is it, hey, I know you really care about X, Y, and Z, and because you care about X, Y, and Z, I took 5 extra minutes, and here's a blog entry that I found that I think you really love, or here's a YouTube video that reminded me of you. Anyways, I just want to say thanks. Like, you can hear it, right? The difference in that, like, that showing up for somebody. And I challenge you, if you are working in a school, Teacher Appreciation Week does not necessarily just mean that you have to be appreciated, but also that you have a chance to be appreciative. And to share that appreciation with your students and with your colleagues and with your administrators to say, hey, today's fundamentally different because you guys showed up. And I'm trying to meet your level of effort with my level of effort. I want you to know that it doesn't go unnoticed, so thank you. And here's the thing that made me think of you. And by sharing those appreciations, by leading with vulnerability, I really do think we can make a kinder, more centered, more focused classroom where everyone is recognizing, okay, nobody's perfect, fine. But we appreciate that you're trying, and that really can go a really long way in helping to move those needles on student engagement, teacher burnout, and certainly in the improvement of the quality of instruction and the relationships with the people that we try to serve. It's hard. This year has been really, really hard. I think it's important for all of us to remember that we don't have all of the answers, and anyone who pretends to have all of those answers is probably trying to sell you something. So there's a due degree of skepticism that's owed, but to appreciate is to say, hey, I see what you're trying to do. I see that there's no malice, no guile, no manipulation behind it, and, you know, thanks. It means a lot. So if you're listening to today's podcast, thanks. The end. Period. Full stop. Keep being awesome. Go back to your classrooms. Tell your kids they think they're awesome. Tell a colleague you think that they're awesome. shoot an email to somebody you've worked with or has helped your life a little bit during this pandemic and say, hey, for what it's worth, I couldn't do this without your, you know, worksheet, your Zoom, your lesson plan, your idea, your activity. Hit me up on Twitter. Let's talk about it. I would love to hang out and find out other ways that we can feel appreciated that don't just feel like ticky-tack, like, you know, boxes to check. And, yeah, I'm all in. Thanks again for listening. Please feel free to tune in next week and every Monday. Hit me up on Twitter, @mehanedu, or find me on EMC2Learning, where we have a full community of engagement engineers just trying to appreciate and learn together. Thanks. Have a wonderful day. Have a great week. Bye.